This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening, this is Inside Story with Sharmila Ganesan and Lee Chui Lin. Tonight, in conjunction with International Women's Day, we're talking about this year's theme, Break the Bias.
So essentially, we're going to be discussing how to do exactly that, right? In three major settings, society, the workplace, and in the family unit.
So tell us, what can we do to break the gender bias? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:07 and today is, of course, International Women's Day. And as we said, the theme is Break the Bias, which essentially is a call to imagine what they I'll just read the definition. To imagine a gender equal world that's free of biases, stereotypes and discrimination against women. I mean, is that all? It sounds so simple.
So, yeah, I was going to say that that is a very, very big theme, right? A lot of things can be caught within that. I do think also that I like that it acknowledges an issue, I suppose, and that it also acknowledges that immediate steps need to be taken in order to address that. Bias is an interesting one, right? Because it's one thing to say, I think discrimination as a word often describes actions and attitudes. So when we think of the term discrimination, it's easier perhaps to identify. You can actively say like, well, look, I'm being paid less. I'm treated differently. There are all these actual seeable, actionable things. Biases, though, I love the focus on that because it's so internal. A lot of what a bias is just dependent on how you see the world, and that is dependent on how you were raised, on how the people who raised you were raised. And there are all these things that go into trying to address this issue of bias, which is why we wanted to break it down into specific categories.
Yes, bias is actually a softer word than discrimination, which also means it's more difficult to address sometimes because it's things like girls being told they're not as good a driver and therefore not being allowed to go out to drive themselves to work, for instance. You not perhaps realizing that you might think someone's a better speaker than another person just because of gender and how they're taught to express themselves. So these are all very sort of slippery concepts that's difficult to implement or to even point out to people. And I don't think that this is necessarily a male versus female kind of thing. I think women also hold these kinds of biases against themselves, against other women. And in a way, I think it becomes more difficult to address because it's not as obvious.
Yes, which is why I'm interested in, like I said, the choice of the theme, because so much of it has to do with mindset. And then when you think about what informs the mindset, like you said, a lot of it is softer, so to speak. But then there are also things like policy. Like, I don't want to pretend that policy or organizational structures and things like that don't actually enter the picture, because they do. And so I don't want to make it sound as if we're just, you know, talking in complete vagueness and saying, yes, you know, it's about attitude, really, because I do think that there are actual things that can be done to, and I'm going to quote the theme, break the bias, which is what we're trying to get into.
And I think actually bias and attitudes enter very much into the sphere of policy, right? It's why people say you need to have women in the decision-making process. You need to have women in the policymakers process because sometimes these biases aren't even acknowledged until someone says, hey, you know, it's different when you are a woman. Lots to unpack, really. We're going to try and do the best we can. After this, we're first going to look at this from the societal level. And for that, we'll be joined by Dr. Shanti Thambia, who is Associate Professor of Gender Studies at University Malaya. But we'd like to hear from you. What can we do to break the gender bias? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Build Fairer Malaysia. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:12. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we are doing a whole segment on International Women's Day, specifically the theme of breaking the bias. So we're first going to address that from a societal point of view. We'd like to hear from you. What can we do to break the gender bias? You can call 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're now joined by Dr. Shanti Tambia, Associate Professor of Gender Studies at University Malaya. Dr. Shanti, thanks for speaking with us today. How do you feel about this year's theme, to break the bias? Where are we on that front?
Okay, I think the theme is something that is very very doable. It's very agentic. We are able to take this particular theme and act on it. It's not impossible. It is a theme that is very appropriate. It's a theme that doesn't require much resources in terms of us addressing the biases. It's in our hands. So I find it I feel very important that this theme is doable. We can do it. So, and in terms of where we stand on this front, there's certainly a lot of work that needs to be done, because we know in today's society, gender bias is often used to refer to a preferential treatment of men. And we certainly need to break the silence. There's no such thing as preferential treatment for anybody. And it's, to some extent, entrenched as a male privilege. And we need to break this and allow a pathway for women to be treated as an equal to men, not men being privileged over women. So therefore, breaking the bias is extremely important, and we need to work on it. And this bias exists because in society, sexism is still very prevalent. Somehow, we are a bit more conscious about addressing racism, for example. There might be still racism in the country, but in terms of us not looking racist in our act and in our behavior, in the way we carry ourselves, we are much more conscious. But in terms of sexism, we are less conscious about being prejudicial against women, for example. Some things happened last year, you know, even in the media, we have that kind of sexist language and behavior. It's not acceptable at all. Unfortunately, it still exists. So we need to act on it. And we can act on it with support of media, with the support of public. And it's doable.
Let's roll it back, right? So how do gender biases take root on a societal level? I mean, how have we seen this shift over time as well?
See, biases exist. And it's acquired from a very young age. We learn from observing things around us. So a lot of our behavior and attitudes are constructed. It's constructed and it's exists within both our conscious and unconscious psyche. So therefore, we need to address these biases at a very young age. So in terms of the way we the upbringing of children, in terms of the socialization of children, we need to address that at the root so that, you know, this younger generation, the next generation, will not be behaving or having the attitudes that are sexist in nature, for example. So they see sexism as something really terrible, you know, the same way they would see racism as something terrible. So we need to work on that at a very young age. So it's in our hands in terms of the way we socialize the next generation of children. And this bias becomes problematic when it causes an individual or a group to treat others poorly as a result of their gender or their race or whatever. But in this context, you treat a woman badly or treat a girl badly in school. For example, we talk over her, we interrupt her, we don't respect her at all. these are attitudes that should be changed. And sometimes this occurs unconsciously. Because it's so ingrained in our personality and behavior. Research is showing that we can change and bring a shift in these biases. It's doable. We can act on these biases, and over time we can change things. And it depends on, we need to have a rationale and a kind of conviction or belief-based processes. So if we believe racism is bad, we believe sexism is bad, it's a question of our ability to respect the other within their differences. And therefore, these are some things that can be done. I'm very positive about changing biases and attitudes, but we need to work on it because it requires large-scale change, public attitudes.
You mentioned school just now. Could you give us some other everyday examples of how biases manifest in a Malaysian setting?
Examples of biases. Say, for example, gender-based discrimination and violence. Women suffer from misogynistic attitudes, sexist policies. Women have to stay at home and the men go out during the lockdown. Because men must be given space to go out, for example, and women don't have to. These are examples of everyday biases that exist around us. These are some examples of biases. More pronounced biases would be in terms of, if you look at numbers of women in decision-making position, numbers of women in leadership, these are very stark biases. And women's participation in politics, for example, there are very, very few women in politics. These are biases that exists in society that leads to inequality. So if we respect a woman as an equal to men, then these biases would not exist. We will have equal participation of women in decision-making, equal participation of women in political participation, and such things will not be there. Equal pay for the same job. Women are paid lesser than men for doing the same job. So these are biases, you know. So these are things we can see. Statistics are there. It's very observable. It's very concrete biases, which we can address very proactively.
How do these biases link up with other forms of prejudice like race, religion, or ethnicity? I mean, you've made some connections, but perhaps you could expand.
People are often biased against others outside of their own social groups. And showing prejudice, stereotypes, and discrimination tends to be sometimes, people behave it as if it is natural to them. They don't see it as something that is negative. I mean, we hear people talk in a way in which, you know, to some of us who are very gender sensitive, we really shriek at those kind of language, you know. But there are people who would act in that way. And these biases exist because we tend to categorize. Human beings have a brain that requires us to categorize and label things. But what has happened with this need to categorize and label is that we have used it to discriminate. So that is very unhealthy. It's very damaging. It leads to very negative outcomes in terms of progress for humanity, for example. I'm thinking in big words, but these are some of things that we should be looking at in terms of, you know, if you are discriminated based on your religion, say, for example, if a lot of Muslims find it very difficult to travel internationally because of the link between Islam and Islamophobia with terrorism, for example, you know. But in reality, terrorism exists everywhere and across all religion. But now we assign it to certain religion that is very bad. Like, for example, in the Malaysian context, when we talk about crime, criminality, gangsterism, alcohol abuse, we assign it to Indians. It's not like the other ethnic groups don't engage in this kind of behavior and attitudes, but we assign it. There's a racial-based biases. And if these biases are used against an individual and leads to, you know, that person feeling discriminated and oppressed, then that's negative, whether it's gender-based biases, biases based on religion, ethnicity, and class. So I think these are things we need to address. But today being International Women's Day, we're looking at biases that women experience.
So putting that end to gender discrimination and to gender inequality, it's a long process. It's a process that's been ongoing. How have you seen this evolve over time?
Yes. I mean, we were doing quite well in all domains. But the pandemic has reversed quite a lot of the gains we have achieved. We have lost 25 years of gains. So it's going to take a long time for us to reboot and push forward again. Hopefully, we will see greater policies and more interventions to address this problem that we are seeing in terms of the rising inequality, in terms of unemployment of women, in terms of, you know, violence against women. All these are on the rise. So we need to address these kinds of social phenomenon, social events that discriminates women. So we have to have intervention. This one, we need support and at the state level to have interventions and contribute towards bringing those kind of statistics down. We need a much more proactive state that is gender sensitive.
So what examples of real world interventions can we look to that have really had effective results when it comes to countering gender bias?
Affirmative action, say, for example, temporary special measures. Like, for example, it's so difficult to get women into politics, for example. Okay, so what we need to do is at the party level, political participation of women, we need to have more women in parliament, for example. We need more policy, female policymakers. We also need correct representation of women in the media and their more proactive role as media persons in changing perceptions. We also need temporary special measures, including quotas in the judiciary, in law enforcement agencies, in executive and the corporate sector too. And then we also need greater participation of women in women leaders in stimulating a gender-sensitive and just interpretation of customs and norms. And recently, you know, we heard a deputy minister say things that were not really very positive in line with addressing gender inequality. So we have to also have gender corrective education curriculum development. We have to also encourage women and girls to enter into traditionally male-dominated fields of education. We need to see more women in certain fields. So increasing their participation in those fields will correct the imbalance. At the moment, there are certain fields where there's major imbalances. So we need to encourage more girls and women to enter into those traditionally male-dominated fields. We need to enact laws and change mindsets. Laws have a very important role in changing mindsets and acting. Because if you say domestic violence and gender-based violence is a crime, sexual harassment is a crime, then that is going to change the mindset of people. They will be more careful. Domestic violence is a crime. Sexual harassment is a crime. So we need to enact laws that changes mindsets. And laws should criminalize such activities. And we need to see convictions in terms of domestic violence, in terms of rape, in terms of sexual harassment. And these convictions will actually change people's mindset. Oh, this is a crime. This is wrong. This is bad. People will realize, and then they will start changing. It will take time, but having the laws in place is important. These are some of the things I can think of. Promotion of shared domestic responsibilities. I will never miss not saying that. Whatever forum I get, I say, please, we need to have shared domestic responsibilities. Besides laws, besides everything, in the home front, we cannot, should not tolerate inequality. You know, a home front based, built based on love and, you know, commitment to family and well-being of family, we need to have greater levels of sharing of responsibility. It's no longer acceptable for us to say, this is women's work. No, this is one bias we need to really break first. If we can break it in the home front, then we can keep, the domino effect will be there. So I think I'm going to also say that that's another area where we can actually work on, promote shared domestic responsibilities between women and men, parenting, caregiving, and household chores. We also need to provide resources for programs targeting the elimination of gender stereotypes, for example, through advocacy and awareness raising campaigns. Thank you to BFM. You did this awareness raising campaign on International Women's Day. So these are things we need to do more often, and, so that there will be, this can lead to some form of attitudinal, public attitudinal change.
Dr. Shanti, thanks for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Shanti Thambia, Associate Professor of Gender Studies at University Malaya. Do weigh in. What can we do to break the gender bias? We'll continue the conversation after this. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Banish fraudulent maneuvers, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:38. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. It is International Women's Day, so we're addressing the theme, Break the Bias. Earlier, we looked at what that means in a societal context. Now we're going to hone in on the workplace. But we'd like to hear from you. What can we do to break that gender bias? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, on the line with us is Amelia Sharif, Managing Partner at Speak Up Malaysia. Amelia, always good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
So, in the context of the workplace, what are some of the ways in which gender biases show up?
Before I answer that question, I just want to acknowledge that when we say bias, it's not just prejudice, but it could also be preferences, right? In the workplace. And in my experience, when we work with organizations, one of the biggest problems that will usually arise is favoritism. And I've talked about this a lot because even in my line of work, when we talk about diversity and inclusion, when you talk about sexual harassment or any kinds of workplace harassment, favoritism is usually an issue that will always be there. It lingers because it is one of the recipe to have a toxic workplace, basically. In a workplace where people generally believe that some individuals are favored over others, then generally it will be the kind of environment where employees will check out a lot of, right? They will feel less invested. If they see something wrong, they won't speak up because they'll be like, who cares, you know? I'm not going to get the same credit as X and Y, for example. On the other hand, when we talk about the prejudice, I've seen this happen. It's like passive-aggressive, unfair work distribution kind of situation. So there was this situation where the manager sort of like passed on the more menial, nitty-gritty type work to one person and one person consistently. And when you look at organizations in Malaysia, I found this to be quite common, actually. And sometimes the bosses or the team leaders, they don't even realize they're doing this. Even as just a colleague, right? We treat all of our colleagues differently sometimes. So if I'm working with Sharmila and Trillian, I will probably say, Sharmila's great with this. I will always go to her with the same thing over and over again. And I'll do the same with you, right? But what we're not realizing is that by doing that, you're also depriving people of an opportunity to grow, to get new projects, so on and so forth. Sometimes it becomes, you know, you're overly critical of someone and things like that. So for me, these are some of the most common bias issues in the workplace.
And why do you think offices or workplaces are one of the more fraught areas when it comes to addressing these issues?
I mean, off the bat, we spend so much time at the workplace. We're invested. It's sort of like a high risk, high reward situation. We all get a salary from this and you want to climb up the ladder because it's otherwise, how do you achieve social mobility and all these other big things, right? So I think it becomes sort of like a riskier area because everyone's invested, everyone wants something from it. But even if I were to put all of these economic incentives aside, at the most basic instinctive level as a human being, we want recognition. We want to be recognized for our work, our value, our contribution, which is why when you put in so much of your hard work into something and you don't get the recognition, or if the recognition goes somewhere else, for example, it becomes something that, you know, it's a sentiment that you carry, right? I think that is one of the reasons why it will usually lead to something bigger, right? Like I said, sometimes it can resort to things like bullying, isolation, vilification of a certain individuals, et cetera, et cetera.
Are there systemic or institutional practices that reinforce gender biases at work?
Absolutely. Let's talk about the pay gap, to begin with, right? When we're talking about like biasness in terms of gender, I find that when you talk about the pay gap, that is sort of like a good summary that says, you know, the work of a person of a certain gender is inherently valued less than another person. And that is like the opposite of the word equality, right? The non-existence of bias. A lot of people sometimes ask me, when you say gender equality, excuse me, what do you mean? You know, in a gender equal world, we imagine individuals from various gender identities to be equally valued, trusted, celebrated by society, and they are free to make choices without any limitations set by stereotypes, prejudice, etc., about their expected gender roles. So they can contribute and they can also benefit from that ecosystem in itself. So I think when we talk about the workplace in particular, we have to remember that the way we hire, our processes and policies and framework of hiring, promotion, the way mentorship opportunities are given out, for example, all of these things, the way performance reviews are done, for example. So all of these things are systemic and structural things that could make biases become something that is a lot more than just a thought that you have in your head. It becomes discrimination, be it direct or indirect.
So if we go back to the theme, right, for this year's International Women's Day, what does breaking the bias mean from an organizational or work point of view, right? What needs to happen? What should be put in place?
I think first and foremost, organizations need to realize that when you want to tackle bias, you're essentially dealing with people. So yes, policies, frameworks, big grand statements about how much you embrace diversity and inclusion, all those things are very important. But at the end of the day, the question that employers have to ask themselves is this: when I put a person in a position of power, do I trust this person to treat everyone below them equally and treat them with respect, dignity, and make sure that there's an equitable distribution of opportunities, etc., right? So until and unless workforces can confidently say, you are not able to be a manager until and unless you have some level of EQ or empathy, for example. So I think these are just some of the things that can be included in the workplace ecosystem to sort of like help with their situations. So for sure, we're also looking at things like sensitization training, for example. We also need to talk about having a, you know, open sharing type conversation where you sort of like learn and understand the challenges faced by other people. But just because it's International Women's Day, we should also talk about, you know, other types of biases. Like, it's not just about gender, right? It's also about ethnicity, religion, sexual orientation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So all of these things are intersectional. So talk about these things. Try to make sure that you curate a corporate culture that can address these things from the bottom up as well.
It strikes me, though, that we are talking about adults. We're talking about people who come from their own sets of experiences and baggage. How do we put in place, or how do organizations put in place policies that can address and account for all of that? Given that you're going to be dealing with such a spectrum of responses and behaviors.
You're right, Sharmila. In that sense, when you're trying to educate or create awareness amongst adults, that's slightly more challenging as opposed to when we're talking about kids and school children. But I think when someone joins an organization, right, that's always a session where you have to get on board, right? That's the onboarding. And I think a part of that onboarding is about aligning the values of each organization versus every single people that they employ, which is why company values are such a thing, right? So I think if companies put this as a priority, it's just a matter of making this a value of the company and making sure that those values are also aligned. So for example, in the way you set KPIs or targets for a manager, for a department, for example, you can embed things that can measure whether or not there's biasness in the system, in every team, in every department, and whether or not employees feel like there are issues like favoritism, unfair work distribution, et cetera, right? So yes, it's hard, but it's not impossible. At the bottom of it, for organizations to have the political will to do this, it's also for them to recognize that there's massive economic value for them to tap into a workforce that is fully on board with the agenda of the organization. I don't have to remind everyone of the a report in 2018 by Relate Malaysia that talk about the cost of mental health to the Malaysian economy is almost 1% of our GDP. That's like 14 billion, right? So this is because people are not happy at the workplaces. It's toxic. They can't deal with issues like that. So there's massive economic values to be tapped for organizations as well. So if they're doing this, they're not just doing this as a service for society. There's something in it for them. There's something that impacts the bottom line. And that is why it is something they should care about.
So is there legislation or policy that you would like to see address this?
Well, first of all, it would be great to see the Gender Equality Act. We've heard about that for so long. I'm not quite sure what's happening with that, but my understanding is that the various NGOs who've been like tirelessly working on this are still doing the great job of pushing this. So we hope to hear more updates and more positive news on this from the government as well. Aside from that, we want to look more GESI, sorry, when I say GESI, I mean gender equality and social inclusion type initiatives in larger corporations in Malaysia. We want to see more organizations in Malaysia talk about diversity and inclusion and not talk about that in a superficial way, to actually curate, you know, initiatives that can actually bring those values into light, right? Operationalize it and culturalize this value. But on a side note, like Speak Up Malaysia is also working with our partner FREM to draft the Corporate Governance Code on Diversity, Equality and Inclusion. So our hope is that this code can become like a guide to what should we expect from a workplace that is equal, that is diverse, and that is inclusive of all. So, of course, this is still in the early stages. We hope to engage with the government and the various stakeholders on this very soon. But I think these are some of the examples of things, policies, frameworks, that even guidelines that we would love to see to help our organizations in Malaysia to the right direction.
Amelia, we have just about a minute left. What would you like to leave us with?
I would like to say happy International Women's Day, everyone, and especially to those of you in the studio. I feel like this year we're talking about bias. I like that because I feel like it's a huge part, I mean, in my line of work, in the workplace, you know, where it impacts everything. People, when people leave the, when mothers leave the organization, for example, they want to come back. What is the incentive that we're giving people? What is their, what is it? What's in it for them, right? I think by treating them, by value them properly, by, you know, showing that them we appreciate them, these are the right ways to bring people back into the workforce, to increase more women's participation, not just at the workforce, but also in leadership roles. So I would like to end with that.
Amelia, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
That was Amelia Sharif, Managing Partner at Speak Up Malaysia, weighing in on how to break the bias in the workplace. Let us know, what can we do to break the gender bias? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be closing off our conversation by looking at the home and the family, really. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:52. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And as part of our International Women's Day coverage, we are speaking about breaking the bias, which is this year's theme. So we're going to close off the conversation by looking at how to do that at home, really, and with family. We'd like to hear from you. What can we all do to break the gender bias? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now on the line with us is Dr. Boo Han Xian, family sociologist at the School of Social Sciences at University Science Malaysia. Dr. Boo, thanks for joining us today. Now, how much is a person's parenting style rooted around gender and the kinds of roles and behaviours that we might associate with gender?
It depends on one gender role ideology. If a parent has a traditional gender role ideology, they are more likely to emphasise the appropriate roles for their children based on gender. For example, boys will be the breadwinner and girls will be the homemakers when the children grow up. So parents might socialise their children based on the different roles since they are young. However, parents who have egalitarian gender role ideology are more likely to treat their children equally. This is because the belief that children can excel equally regardless of gender. So I think it depends on the gender role ideology.
So what then does it mean to have a gender bias in parenting?
Gender bias is the tendency to prefer one gender over another gender. In this context, I think parents prefer boys rather than girls in the family, so they raise and treat them differently according to their gender.
So could you give us some examples of how biases that are more prevalent in parenting, of biases that are more prevalent in parenting practice, and how parents might be enforcing them without even knowing?
Some parents might give different amount of pocket money to children according to their gender. Maybe boys get more. Some parents might ask the girls to clean the home and cooking, but they don't allow boys to do housework. Also, some parents expect their girls to be good girls, be polite, and don't allow them to go out after 10. Boys can be naughty, don't have to do housework, and can go out after 10 p.m. Parents might be unknowingly reinforce these practices because this is how they were brought up by their own parents. Also, these practices are aligned with the social norms.
So why then do these biases prevail? I mean, why do we as a society hold on to them?
I think these biases prevail because parents tend to believe that boys are superior compared to girls. Boys are the one that carry family name and are more likely to provide old age support to them. Girls will eventually get married and leave the home. Most parents hold on this bias because the practices are aligned with the social norms. However, because we are more aware of inequalities and bias, and we hope to make a change from now.
What are some of the potential long-term impacts on children as well as the family unit as a whole?
When your girls experience gender bias at home, girls will likely continue to experience gender bias in school, workplace, and society. This is because gender bias begins in the family and it will produce and reproduce in the school, workplace, and school where we think that boys are superior and girls are inferior. For the family, conflict might happen because the children might want their parents to be fair and treat them equally. So they might have arguments.
And have you seen a shift away from this traditional mindset? I mean, are parents willing to break away from this?
I think most parents are willing to break away from this norm because these are their children. They have blood relationship and they love them. However, how we treat our children are influenced by our upbringings. So it might not be easy to break away from these norms, but somehow parents must try to do it.
So what are then some ways to reflect on your parenting style to get a better sense of the type of biases that you may be enforcing?
I think parents, they can reflect on their own experience, how they were treated by their own parents. And for now, they can self-questionings and self-awareness are important. And parents might talk to themselves, did you treat your children differently? If yes, why so? Also talking to spouse and children about how they perceive and how they feel might help you to realize whether you have gender bias or not.
And, you know, these can be thoughts and behaviors that parents have held to for a long time. How do you go about unlearning those biases?
Yes, I think exposing yourself to information or knowledge that might help you to become a better parent and leaving those biases behind and start learning to treat your children equally. We have to learn.
Of course, one parent may feel more strongly about making a change than the other. How do we navigate that conflict?
I think communicate constantly and frequently is important. Through listening to your spouse, you understand why a change needs to be made. It might be the mother that would feel more strongly about making a change because they might have experienced gender bias during their upbringings and now in workplace and society. To avoid their children from experiencing what they had gone through now, they want a different future for their girls. So they have to talk, they have to communicate.
And do you have any final thoughts you'd like to leave us with?
Although it is hard to reduce gender bias in parenting, make it a start. It's never too late to start amending the past. Treat your children equally. They deserve to be loved equally. Let your girls shine as much as your boy.
Dr. Boo, thanks for speaking with us. That was Dr. Boo Han Xian, family sociologist at the School of Social Sciences at University Science Malaysia, wrapping up our conversation about breaking the bias in conjunction with International Women's Day. Let us know what can we all do to break that gender bias. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.